Okay, so the title of this, obviously, is Battle Ready. And I want to tell you that as I share this testimony in my life, and we read Ephesians 6, if we do this, you will have 100% victory. 100% victory guaranteed. Is that the most amazing thing? Like, wait a minute. Oh, maybe I'll do well. Maybe I might have victory. Maybe the enemy. No. According to Ephesians 6, and we walk this way, which I'll get into, 100% victory over the enemy. 100% victory. So I want everybody to say 100% victory.
100% victory.
Right? Because anytime the enemy, sometimes we make the devil like super big like this, and then the Lord is like, this big. I hope he comes through. Wrong theology. Wrong theology right there. 100% victory with Jesus Christ, following him, because he is always 100% victorious.
Yes.
Whoa. So, I want to, another vulnerable story for you guys. But as I was going through it, I was like, this is going to be good. Like, I kept thinking, I'm going to share it, and I'm going to do this, and it's going to be good. You know, it's going to be something really cool. And literally, I was thinking as I was going through it, I'm thinking, I can't wait to share the steps that God took me through with all of you, even though I was still in it. So it was like how the Lord encourages me, you're going to have a great message through this. So I was like, I will do it. I will do it. So, all right. So we know that we are living in a war zone, right? You know, we're at war, right? Like, we don't see it, but there's a spiritual war. You know, we don't war against flesh and blood, right? Like, we have a spiritual war going on all the time, right? And then there's those times of battles. We're not always in a battle. Like, a battle is more intense, right? A battle is like, it's going to have a beginning and an end. Like, you know what I'm saying? So there's war, you know, but then there's the battles. And I had a battle this last week. as I reviewed this process, I realized there were warning signs. The Lord is so good. Didn't realize until after. I had two dreams of, I had lost my journal, my Bible, and my pen or something. It was like two dreams where I lost my journal, my Bible, and my wallet. So that means I'm forgetting the promises of God. I'm like forgetting, like, my journal is a place that I write all the good things, all the things he's teaching me, the dreams, all the lessons I'm learning, right? And I lost it. Like, I lost it. And I had two dreams in 1 week of that. And then also my wallet, so my identity. Now what I should have done, you know, I like to learn from my mistakes, is stop. Because I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, in my time with God, I should like focus on, I guess something's going on with my identity. I didn't really like go, oh, I got to stop right now. This is not good. I don't have these dreams, right? So something I was struggling with, different, like, you know, I would say more emotional, relational things, which is the majority for me. And they were affecting me more than normal. So the dreams were warnings. The Lord was like, I could feel it. So it was, wait, today's Saturday, right? So a week ago, Friday is when it started, when actually the symptoms started. So on Thursday, a week ago, I could feel like, do you ever go to pray and you can't get peace? It doesn't happen very often, but it was there. I was like, something's not right. This is not good. Like, I felt like a panicky feeling, and I couldn't calm down. So I was like, okay, this is not good. Just trying to pray, and it wouldn't lift. Trying to get through it, it wouldn't lift. So then I had two dreams. I woke up on Friday morning, and one dream was that I had two different shoes on. I mean, these dreams are not good. You know, it's like I had like a big Ugg boot on and then like a little slipper or something. So I was kind of like, you know, you know, so definitely not sure-footed either. And then I had a dream that someone was cursing me. So, but I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't quite sure the person was cursing me. So I was like, I haven't seen that person in a while. There's no way she's cursing me. I haven't even crossed paths. So, a Christian. So she was in the back seat, which is interesting when I tell you where my pain was. So all of a sudden I go to the gym and I'm doing something I normally do. You know, I'm like pushing this heavy block and you have
in
to,
real life,
this is real now.
Okay.
So I go to the gym, I have all these dreams, whatever. So I'm just working out and then all of a sudden my back, I've never had back issues ever in my entire life. Never. And I'm like, oh, that felt weird. I don't have back problems. So I kept going. Dave's like, why didn't you stop? And I was like, because I don't have back problems. I'm like, I don't have a back problem, you know? So I kept going. And it was getting worse. It got worse and worse. And then I'm like, I'm supposed to go over. We're supposed to pray for Glenda. And I'm like, this is the devil. I'm going, you know? And it's worse and worse and worse. So I laid down the whole time that I was at your house. I laid down. Because I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, I am going to do it. Which I also learned was not wise. Because I mean, I'm glad we got to pray. That's awesome. But, like, if I'm not in my A game, I need just to stop. I need to stop and just say, okay, Lord, my back's out. I've had some dreams. Why don't I just stop and say, hey, after Kuwait, you know, but I'm like, I'm going to do this. The devil's not getting in my way, you know. But God's like, stay home and rest and get my perspective. But I have this kind of like, with these things, I push sometimes. I push through. Other things, I can be more wimpy. Like if I'm feeling sick and it's like I have to fast, I'll just be like, I'm not fasting. You know what I mean? Like I'm not a pusher in that way, but like when
are
I have to go.
You're pushing?
I will push through when it's ministry, when it's, I'm going to go meet with somebody or I need to pray with somebody or I need to share the gospel or I need to go visit somebody. We went and visited somebody the next day. Anyway, I will push through because I don't want the enemy to get the victory. But there's a balance where you need to ask the Lord, Lord, do I need to push through or should I stay home or do something different? These are lessons from the week. Yes. Because I thought I was doing the right thing, but I realized I didn't even ask the Lord. So it's the right thing to do. So, all right. So, you know, when you get a back pain, you're like, okay, I just started asking the Lord, okay, what's going on? What's going on with me? I think I didn't start. I asked a little bit on Friday, but it was kind of a rush. So I didn't. And then Saturday I spent like all day just talking to the Lord, getting rid of, you know, anything or pile up or things seem to pile up pretty quickly, you know, if you don't take those short accounts. So I was letting God just, okay, Lord, you just come, you show me anything. So I was forgiving people I didn't know I had to forgive and realizing I had a lot of judgment. And how that, I was asking the Lord, okay, what does that mean, Lord? I can hear you talking, sir. And what I realized is that judgment, so all these, obviously I had open doors. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to close every door that's open that why I got the attack. And then I want to, you know, repent and then this pain will leave. So, I'm realizing, so you know, when you say do not lean on your own understanding, right? Everybody knows that scripture, right? So when somebody, let's say Aubrey, like let's say I want to make an evaluation about Aubrey. She's done something or something's going on. And so I just decide I'm going to make my own opinion about Aubrey. Instead of saying, Lord, I just saw that. What do you think about it? Not me making my own opinion and my own evaluation of the person or situation. That's what he showed me. Without asking him. So that's called judgment. So when somebody does something or even just somebody, let's say on Instagram, which I've hid a lot of people because I can't, And I realized sometimes just it's like, well, don't you want to get to the point where you see that and you don't feel that weird feeling, like not there yet. So anybody that I would have a judgment or I would be, get a critical spirit, I hide them. I don't want them to know that. I don't want them to unfollow them because then it's a big scene, you know, and everybody's like, why'd you unfollow me? So I just kind of hide. So I've hid a lot of people because I don't want to judge on Instagram. Like, so judgment is you see something. What's she doing there? What's he doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you not doing that, right? Lots of judging. And what does that do? It hardens our hearts. So I was making my own, not that wasn't Instagram, so just different situations. The Lord showed me this, that you are making an evaluation or giving your opinion about something and then kind of a critical perspective instead of saying, Lord, okay, I just thought of that. What do you think and how do you want me to pray? What do you think and how do you want me to pray? And guess what? It's never critical. Yeah. It's never critical. So, you know, all these things are hard to see. So, but I was like, this pain is so bad. I want to repent of anything and everything. So I did that on Saturday. Oh yeah, then I came Saturday night and actually it didn't hurt. I was in one of those chairs like market, no, not that one. The one anyway, next to Andy, that chair, I was in that chair and it was like so comfortable. But I got home, it was really hurting. What was I saying? Let's see. Yeah, so I wake up Sunday morning. It is horrible.
It was probably that message that was really healing.
Yeah. Then I was also saying, I want to wake up and just every day say, Lord, how can I be humble today? I said that on Saturday night. I wake up Sunday morning. It is so bad that I can't lay down without pain. I can't sit anywhere without pain. I can't stand without pain. And I lose it. I am crying and hopeless and trapped and all those feelings. Like, you know, just every negative thing. Will this ever go away? It was really bad. It was really bad. I could find no relief. I had no relief. Has anybody ever felt that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you guys know. It's my first time. And it wasn't, I was like, wait, I've cleaned up everything. Like I've done everything, you know, I've confessed everything. I've commanded it to go. I've blessed the person that cursed me. I've like, why is it still here? I was like, wait, what's going on? So then there's a breakthrough in my mind. So I call my friend Dina and I tell her, and it's interesting. I think I prayed with you guys after. So you're in the order here. God used so many people to minister to me. It was amazing. So I call my friend Dina. She's normally never available on Sunday. So I'm so, so excited. And so she's one. So I'm one. I'm a person and I'm working on it, but like anything that's wrong, I automatically think is a demon. Okay. I just kind of go there. It's like a curse or a demon. I'm kind of like always there. And Dina's kind of like not always there. Right. So this is my point when I'm telling you what she said. So I was like, I might say, man, the tire got exploded and then this happened. This time she's like, Natalie, it's life. It's not a demon. Okay. Don't ever think everything's a demon and a curse. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, cause you want to have that. But anyway, this one, I was like, Dina, I don't know what's going on. And she goes immediately, it's a curse. She says, it's a curse. And I said, I know, I had a dream. And, you know, I'm like crying harder. And, you know, Dave was there, like holding me. And she prayed with me and ministered to me. And she's like, you can do this, Natalie. You're strong. You know, she's like really encouraging me. So I realized, okay, I know it's a curse. So then, crazy, as I'm talking to Dina, I get off the phone and Jen had texted me at the exact time that I was on the phone with Dina. And will you share what, I'm going to come over here so they can hear. Will you share what the Lord said? Because this is so crazy. This exact time I'm on the phone with Dina, Jen writes me. She said, you were heavy on my heart. Okay, go ahead.
You were heavy on my heart. And I was like frustrated because I couldn't figure out why. Like we prayed. We prayed for you. You've been praying.
Yeah.
Everyone was praying. Like, why won't it go away?
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, I was like, okay, I have to put it away. Kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And God just totally interrupted my thoughts and just said demonic attack, like right away. He just.
Isn't that crazy?
And that doesn't happen to me a lot.
Yeah. So. You said it was like booming,
it
right?
It was boom, yeah. It was total, like, stop what you're doing.
Hers was demonic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got that word for the Lord. While I'm on the phone with Dina, who's telling me it's a demonic attack, she gets the word, it's a demonic attack. Then,
what a coincidence.
Right? But then you said you started praying again, and then you got, then listen what else she got.
I wasn't really going to tell you.
Right.
Leah and I just
thank God you told me.
We just prayed and prayed and prayed, and then again, like, just kind of went back to what I was doing, and then God did it again, like totally interrupted again, and I couldn't remember the scripture reference for the verse, the no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Yeah.
And he just totally, like, the words, like, almost came out of my mouth. You know what I
mean? Amazing.
So I was like, where is that? I can't remember where that is. And I looked it up, and then I was reading the whole chapter, and I was like, oh, I've got to text her this, right? And so I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that one. So, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. So, I'm going to read. But you know how encouraging that is? It's like... So, I have all the dreams. I think I get the curse. You know, whatever. I had the dream about the curse. And then... Dina says it's a curse, then at the exact time you get, it's an attack, and this is the scripture she gets, which is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is, and I know we say this all the time, but this was really good news. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. So that was my promise. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Whoa. Guys, whoa. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Is that amazing or what? So I get up. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like team. It was like God provided a team. Joseph and Aubrey, like, I come out of the room and I'm like, you know, just all like, you know, I've been bawling my eyes out. And they began to minister to me, Joseph and Aubrey, for probably 2 hours.
Wow.
You know, just praying with me and getting anything that was popping up out of me, and deliverance and inner healing and everything, you know, and it was just so beautiful. And then we were supposed to go meet that couple, right? The one that sees all the healing in his shop in Oceanside. So, anyway, my mind is starting to get hopeful, but my pain is still there. It's still bad. But it was coming, it was kind of coming and going, wasn't it? It was getting less when we were praying, right? So we go, we meet with them, and as I'm sitting there, it's not hurting. And that was really a cool time with Rami and Manar, something like that. Anyway, so I went, because Dave's like, should we cancel? Like, I just want you to know that he's not like, let's do it anyway. No, he's like, let me cancel. I'm like, I want to meet Rami, you know, like, and anyway, I just like, I feel better now, let's just go. So we went, and then after the lunch, I get in the car, and it's bad again, and so much pain, and so, oh no, Dave was driving, and so I'm in the car, and I'm starting to wilt. I'm like, Dave, you know, like, I'm about to go back in, and then like, get that hope. He's like, are you about to cry? And then all of a sudden, and then I felt like then the Lord started switching my thinking, and he like showed me, I want to show you all the pieces that came together, which were all the pieces I just wrote, I just said, all the things that God did to strengthen me. All of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, when God goes to extra lengths to speak, or like, you know, that, you know, Dina had that word, and then you had that word, Jen and Juliet, and then Joseph and Aubrey were there, and I was like, wait, there are too many another cool thing was, I said it twice, and Aubrey didn't hear Dave say this, and Dave didn't hear Aubrey say it, but I was in my room, and I was just, had the door closed, and I was crying, and I was like, Dina, the only time I don't feel pain is when I'm standing. Right? But literal, right? And then Dave literally opens the door. Did you hear what you just said? You said the only time, you didn't know this? Okay, the only time you don't feel pain is when you're standing. And I was like, oh, not quite out of it, like, oh, okay. You know, then I'm downstairs and I'm telling my mom and dad, I'm like, guys, so I'm downstairs, Dave's upstairs, and this is like, you know, whatever, half an hour later, Aubrey and Joseph are in their rooms. I tell my mom in the kitchen, you know, I'm like, guys, the only time I don't feel pain is when I'm standing. So then Aubrey opens the door and she's like, did you hear what you just said? You said the only time you're not feeling pain is when you're standing. So they both didn't know that they both had said it. So I was like, okay, so I'm God, like the Holy Spirit was like, peace, 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 whole. This is your grace. This is a grace balm to stand. This is a grace balm to stand. Like how many pieces? And usually when he goes to that many lengths, he knows. He's like, this is a big, this is, I mean, not gigantic, but this is an intense attack and she needs fortification. So he was just doing that. Like, I'm like, oh, if I need that much fortification, it must mean he's giving me the ability to stand. And then Dave's like, so all you have to do is stand now. All you have to do is stand. You've done everything. So now you stand. So guess what I thought of? Ephesians 6. So that's my topic for tonight. All right. So if you guys want to turn to Ephesians 6.
Natalie,
yeah.
Is there anything specifically associated with the lower back when it comes to spiritual? Is there something spiritual that's attacking the lower back versus the shoulder or the head?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Someone pointed out, I forgot who it is. Did you say back seat? Oh, the woman was in the back seat. Back seat.
It's like her back hit. Like lower back.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's all really crazy.
In your dream, she was in the back
seat. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So, usually with back, I mean, not saying every time, but it's unforgiveness or judgment.
She was having judgment towards you?
I was having judgment towards other people. No, I'm just saying it can get hit there if I had unforgiveness or judgment. So that's sometimes, because I remember the first time we found this out, we were living in Qatar. We were just learning about healing. And my back was hurting. Oh, that was another time. It wasn't out. It was just, I'm like, wow, my back hurts. He's like, I just read in a book about healing that if you have unforgiveness, it can sometimes hurt your back. He's like, do you have any unforgiveness? I was like, yes. And so it was towards this friend that had just betrayed me. And so I forgave her and the back pain left immediately. So I was like, oh, this is no joke. This is no joke, right? All right, so I'm going to start reading. You guys like? Okay, by the way, all credits due for this PowerPoint, Emily Hess. Dave kept saying, Emily, Natalie, are you doing it or is Emily? Are you supposed to learn? I'm doing both, Dave. Thanks.
I just made that.
No way. Armor of God. Whoa! Boom, boom, boom! All right. Woo! Come on. All right, so there's our part, right? There's our part. You're going to see where your part is and where God's part is. Okay, I'm going to start. So after the entire chapter, Ephesians, I'm sorry, the entire book of Ephesians, in conclusion, Paul writes, be strong in the, of course, this is amplified, be strong in the Lord. Not in your own strength, in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. So first of all, get all your strength. You're in a battle, right? You're in one of those, it feels very long. And if I think about it, anyway, you'll hear. The pain, it was just like a bad couple days, but it really felt like some of the longest days of my life. So anyway, these are the intense battles. So get your strength from him. Put on the full armor of God, right? Now, I know everybody knows about the armor of God and we've learned it since we were young and I want you to put that away. I'm not going to hit everything like we would normally do in all the parts and everything. I probably, people have a lot. Is someone squeaking the chair? Joseph. Okay. Sorry. It's like squeaking in my ear. No, it's okay. I didn't think you were meaning. Oh, good. Okay. I can just hear it here and I'm like.
It's your mommy.
Oh, it's my son and my mom. Thank you. Someone, can we remind someone, can someone bring WD-40 next week? I've been wanting to do that for 2 years.
As long as it's not gas, we're all good.
Oh my. Okay. All right. So, just put that away. Like, this is not the normal armor of God talk, and I'm sure a lot of you have opinions about it. I love you all, but I don't want to hear it, okay? So this is not about each part and what it represents and all that. I'm just kind of doing this overview and the pieces that affected me, you know? All right? Sorry. All right. Was that nice? I hope so. Okay. Okay. Put on the full armor of God. For his precepts, so this is cool. So each part of the armor are precepts. His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully, guys, this is 100% victory, stand up against all, can everybody say all?
All
the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Whoa. So these things that we're that you're going to be reminded of in a new, in a fresh way, these are his precepts that make you like have a splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier. That's what we are with all these parts, remembering all the armor, okay? This is so that, do you guys really believe that? Like, so that, I wasn't obviously believing that on Sunday. I was like, I was a pile of mess. And yet here this says, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. That's the most amazing promise. You're not a victim. You're not a, you know, you're not a target, you know, waiting to be shot. You know, you're not, the devil! You know, you should be like this.
Yep.
Right? Like, we're aggressive. We're not going to give in. And, oh no, that person was a witch. Uh-oh, I'm so scared. No, stop. We can't think that greater is Satan than God, or greater than witches, or greater than curses. They're greater than God's power. That's a lie. That's such a lie. Such a lie. So we have to know when we are using this armor, you will be 100% victorious. 100% victorious against all the schemes of the devil. And we know how many schemes he has.
Yeah.
So many schemes and so much deceit. And yet Paul is saying, all you will be successful. You will be 100% victorious.
Amen.
And just to remember, when we have these battles, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We get so caught up in flesh and blood. I was getting so caught up in flesh. My pain, I was letting my pain take over. I was letting it take over. I lost, I guess, like the ability to think straight, hope, all this. I just gone, you know, because I was, and then the Lord was like, you know, like in the car. My struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Even if it seems, though, like you have people at work maybe that are not very nice or rude or, you know, outright jerks, or maybe they're out to get you or whatever it is, whoever it is, you know, a neighbor or a family member, I don't know. But just knowing your struggle is never against flesh and blood. Never. Never. Never against flesh and blood. Never. It's never flesh and blood. So if we try to use weapons, our own flesh weapons, you will never win. Do you realize that? You'll never win if you just go with flesh weapons, which would be our tongue, would be, you know, our wicked thoughts or wicked words, or it never, ever gets you the victory. Never. Can you believe it? And yet we use those fleshly weapons. You know, and mine was, it didn't even do anything. It was just so helpless and hopeless. But once I realized, all of a sudden, as I was, because I got this out, I was like, Dave, Ephesians 6. So I normally don't read in the car because I get sick, but I was just reading in every version. I was reading Ephesians 6 in every version in the car, and it was like my spirit was, you know, maybe it was like kind of wilted, and all of a sudden my spirit's like, I could feel my spirit rising up, you know, like, you know, and the Holy Spirit, there she is, you know, like, finally, woo, we got her. And so, yeah, so it's not, it's, but it's against, so our flesh struggle is not flesh and blood, but our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the supernatural places. Therefore, and always the funny thing you say, what is it there for? Right? So knowing that this is the only armor that will give you 100% victory, knowing that our war is not for flesh and blood, therefore put on the complete armor of God. Are you guys laughing at the music?
Yeah.
It's the...
restaurant.
Oh. So loud. Okay.
I think it's sad that we keep blaming Marlon.
Oh, stop. Sorry, Marlon. It just seems like it's right outside the door. That's why. Probably because it is. It's right downstairs, right? It's just kind of like it's not good. That's why it seems like it's the phone.
No,
oh, maybe it is good. Maybe it is good. Okay, never mind. All right.
It's a demonic distraction.
Yeah, I know, right? We're not warring against flesh and blood. Okay, therefore, put on the armor of God, okay? So that, okay, there's a so that there. So therefore, what's it there for? To show you what to do. You know what the war is. It's not against flesh and blood. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that, guys, another amazing promise. You will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day. Wow. I was having some evil days. Evil day. Right? So you will be able to successfully stand and resist. Right? Resist and stand your ground in the evil day. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So, man, how many times do I have to say it, right? As you see this too, it's like, we haven't gotten there, sorry. Okay, so it's be strong in, and then now, there's a lot of be strong, you know, wait one second, let me go back here. Just the promises that, you know, as you put this on, believe these promises. As you put these on, believe these promises. Okay. So, stand firm and hold your ground. Having tightened the wide band of truth around your waist. Now, that's the one that stood out to me first. I was realizing, oh my goodness, this is the battle. And again, everything was just so heightened. So it's going to be like, yeah, of course it was this. But I'm telling you, it was like, the battle is in my mind. The battle is not my back. The battle was in my mind. So I was like, oh my goodness. And I even read the book, Battlefield of the Mind. All of a sudden it's like full on, boom, revelation of this. It's in your mind. You got to get victory here to get victory here. So then the battle's here. So once I get this okay, then I can stand. Right? So I'll tell you what I started to do. So with the belt of truth, and I'm like this, she's in the car, like, boy, I'm getting this tight, right? So I was thinking about all the lies I was thinking, and then believing the opposite. So I started thinking, okay, what is the truth? You know, because when you're kind of like you've been spinning, you're like, what's the truth about this situation? So I was taking kind of what I was thinking in the negative, and then I was making it positive. Okay, God is for me. These are personal, what I was doing. God is for me. Ugh! God will deliver me. Ugh! This will end. Because I told Dave, okay, this is a battle. That means there's a beginning and an end. I don't know when the end will be, but I know it will be end. Stand in hope. And then I was hearing, this is too much. You can't handle it. This is too much. You can't handle it. And I was like, it's not too much. Ugh! And then I was like thinking, you know, my mind, oh, it's probably your sin. You don't know it. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, whatever I need to know, the Father will show me because he's a good Father. No, I'm not doing the spiral. No, I already asked him. I spent quite a while asking him, Joseph and Aubrey. We asked him. I'm all good, right? So I know if there's something hidden, like, you'll show me, Lord. So I'm not going to even go there. I'm going to forget all that because I've done that. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. Help me stand. And then I got, I don't know what you do if you give up, but you know that feeling you want to give up? I have no idea what that looks like. I mean, I wasn't wanting to die or anything, but you just want to just lay in bed and cry, right? So that would be kind of my giving up. So I was like, okay, God will never give up. So I won't either. So these are all the lines I was getting, like, I will not give up because God will not give up. He will never give up. Just tightening and tightening and tightening and tightening and reviewing the truth and just like, oh, it's only here. It's here. If I'm good here, then it doesn't matter what's going on in my body. If I'm good here, you know? And I I have more to say, but what later I was listening to some testimonies. Oh, those are the ones I was going to put, yes, I'm in a battle. When I posted those about Dan Moeller, I put one, when you're in attack, and there was another one that was during it. So anyway, what he said was he had like a demon visit him and then like hit his leg really hard. And so when he woke up, his leg was like this big. And he said, he was just like, I know it's an attack, so why would I go to the doctor, right? But then all these pastors he met with, they're like, you're too proud. Like, you won't go to the doctor. You're so proud. And he's like, I'm not going to the doctor because a demon came and hit my leg. I know it's an attack, and I know I just need to stand. And he's like, are you looking at your leg, Dan? Like, look at your leg. He's like, I'm not looking at my leg. I'm great. I'm great. My mind is great. My heart is great. My leg just hasn't come into alignment with my mind and my heart. It's like the problem. He's like, don't you see the problem? He's like, the problem is not my leg. I don't have a problem. I'm good. Right? So he did actually go to the doctor because the Lord said, just go to the doctor because they think this. Anyway, the guy was literally like, we need to amputate your leg. And he's like, I'm not doing that. He said, I know you know what you're saying, but I'm not doing that. He's like, you'll die if you don't amputate your leg. He's like, no, I'm not doing that. And he said, I know my God, I don't have a problem. He's like, what are you talking about? Your leg. I don't have a problem. I know who I am. I am strong in the Lord. I love him. You know, whatever. This will go. I'm good though. I'm good. So powerful. So if you didn't listen to those, go back and listen. It's a very good testimony from Dan Moeller.
We had a friend, my son's girl, not girlfriend, but a friend of a girl, had cancer in her shoulder.
Yeah.
And they said they have to amputate her arm. She's in her 20s. Mm-hmm. And we prayed for her and everything else, and then she decided, I'm not doing it. And they said the operation could spread. As soon as we open it up, it will spread all over you. Oh, wow. So she had faith, and they operated, and she's fine.
Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah.
And she met Dan Moeller, by the way.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I went up to him and said, could you pray for her? She said, why don't you just pray for her?
Oh, I know. He does that. I know. Okay, so at the same time, the next one is, so we are putting on, right? We are putting on, that's our part. We can't just go, I don't know. Like, we have to make an effort, right? We have to do these things. Like, I was believing lies, right? So I had to come out of agreement with the lies and then shoom, all the truth, right? Just tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. So we have to put that on. We can't just, I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I had this dream like a year ago, and there was this woman, and I know her anyway. So she was, we were just kind of talking, and then all of a sudden, like a burglar came in the house, a thief came in the house, and he had a knife, and she's just sitting there, and he's like taking everything. She's just standing there. She's a Christian. He's taking everything from her, and then I walk up. She's not doing anything. She even has, I think she has a weapon in her hand, and she's just like this. So then I literally went up to him, and I was like this. Mom, can this be the knife? Go like that. I just went like this. Get out of here! And he did. He didn't. It was that easy to get rid of him. It was that easy. All I did was, I said, give me that knife. You leave now. And I pushed him. And he was like, you know? So, but she didn't use anything. She didn't use anything that she had. She literally just stood there. And I think that's what, like a good picture of sometimes what happens when we're experiencing something or having a battle or we're struggling or we're hopeless or whatever it is. We just decide to put our hands down and just let everybody beat you up. Just let the lies, let the demons beat you up. We don't want to do that. Okay. So the breastplate, so the put on, wait, what's the next one? Okay, so and your waist, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, so the breastplate of righteousness is what I had done Sunday, right? So before, right, I had done that. It's righteousness. It's like, okay, where is there unrighteousness in me, Lord? Show me. So I would say when there's a battle, it's good to be updated with the Lord. So I'm going to do this more regularly. Like, Lord, examine me completely. Examine me completely. Any area of unrighteousness, please show me. And he was faithful to do that. But I just saw that came before, but I was like, okay, that's really cool. Any judgment, any unforgiveness, any sin, any negative words, whatever it is, put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Well, he took your unrighteousness, yeah, and you got his
righteousness. Yes, that's beautiful. Yep, I like that. And having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation, this is where the other dream comes in, to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. So as you remember the dream on Friday morning, yes, not firm-footed, right? It just happened so quickly. You know, I didn't know. Like, you know, I spent time with God, asking God, but the little nigglies were getting in and they piled up. So, okay, so strap on. Okay, wait, let's see. Where am I now? Okay. So the shoes of peace, like the gospel of peace, that... Also, you know that with the word like shalom, whenever there's shalom or salam in Arabic, that you are bringing like perfect alignment to the situation. Like whatever is crooked becomes straight. Whoever is misaligned becomes aligned. When he says peace, the storm stops, right? So you're ready with the shoes of peace. You know, ready in preparation. You're ready to go where God says, right? I guess it wasn't. Okay. The next one, above all. Wait, did I do everything on that one? Yep. All right. Above all. That stood out to me. Lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all. Can we say all? Oh, guys, all these alls are so awesome. Lift up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So what is that? What is the shield of faith, right, for us in this situation? God's promises, right? So it's stuff that God's promised, but we can't see it. Because if you have to have a shield of faith, it means you're not seeing it. So you have to believe his promises and stand in faith. So I was thinking the two things that stood out to me the most were the belt of truth and then the shield of faith. By the way, we're going to all write down our own after. The ministry time is all about doing the truth. If you're in a battle or you know kind of areas that are weak in your truth, when something happens, like what the truth is and then what the promises are. So, God's promises. So in Romans 8, if God is for me, who can be against me? Because I needed that, right? I knew that this was an attack, so someone was against me. So if God is for me, who can be against me? And then right from the scripture, all the fiery darts will be extinguished when I put my shield of faith out. So the pain might be there, but I'm going to stand in faith. And then all the fiery darts will be extinguished. And I didn't have a timeline, but I knew that it was just true. They were going to be extinguished. And then that one from 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. You know, when you get attacked or you're going through a hard time, it feels like you're the attack or the pain or the problem gets bigger, right, than God. Because you're thinking about it all the time. You're thinking about the attack. You're thinking about the problem. You're thinking about the fear. You're thinking about whatever. And so that was a promise. I was like, hey, greater are you that is in me than he that is in the world, than the curse that just came to me, you know? Yeah. Another one. These are just for me personally what helped me. The Holy Spirit is in me and with me through the whole thing. He's my helper. He's my counselor. He's my comfort. He's my strength. He's my teacher. All of it. And he's in me, going through this with me. And then all over the place, right? The Lord is my refuge, my strength, my deliverer. I love that. So another just Psalm 18:2. I didn't put these down, but that the Lord is my deliverer. So again, if I can be clear in my mind, and we were talking about this on Thursday night, Juliet, you made a great point about breakthrough, that we're not supposed to focus on the breakthrough. We're focusing on him. How did you say it? Because you said it in a different way. I was trying to think of it today. I couldn't express it to Aubrey. You were like not focusing on the thing we need.
Yeah, well, it was like talking about we were talking specifically about healing.
Yeah.
But just praying his will be done.
Yes.
And resting and having that be the prayer that his will be done.
Yeah.
That it's not about, like, yes, we ask for things. Yes, we ask for healing. Yes, we ask for breakthrough. Absolutely,
yeah.
But the focus is him, his will, what he wants, how he wants, when he wants.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So good. So knowing we will be delivered, but focusing on him, right? And not on what I want. I wanted the pain to leave. But all of a sudden, when I started doing all this stuff, I had hope, my pain was actually lessening. So it was all here, like is the whole battle is here. And it was such a powerful realization. Because I'm thinking the battle is here. I'm thinking the battle is my back. It's in my mind. And I'm like, oh, if it's in my mind, I can do this. Like with the Lord, I can do this. You know, I don't know what's going on here, but I can do that. I can stand. And you're telling me just to stand. Don't worry about it. Why and how and when and da da da. What's going to happen? And can I go to Kuwait? Can I sit on the plane? Like the enemy wanted me to go there, right? So like, how are you going to sit on the plane? And I was like, no, I will stand. I will stand and believe the truth. I will stand and believe the promises. You know, so I would not every time slightly think about it. No, stand. So then we have the helmet of salvation, and then take the helmet of salvation, which would be our identity, knowing our salvation. I don't know. Maybe some people would doubt that at that time. That's something I wouldn't as far as salvation, but just knowing they said it's like you're wearing Christ, like knowing who you are, knowing how much you're loved, knowing that you're saved, that you've been delivered, that you are His, you are His beloved. Yeah. Knowing your identity, knowing who you are, knowing you are His. So important with that, the mind, right? The helmet of salvation. I was also thinking about the temptation of Christ. I didn't finish this one, sorry. And then I'll go on to that. And the sword of the Spirit, right? Yeah. So this is the Word of God. So this is, you know, what I was just doing, right? So you're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. So we need to know God's Word. Because, you know, at that time, when you're in a battle, it's not when you want to start reading. Like, oh, now I'm going to start reading the Bible. You know, it's like, no, you want to have it soaked in you that when you go through something, you're like, yes, stand. Yes, Ephesians 6, you know, Romans 8. You know, the ones you have memorized or you know them so well, they're like in you. But then the Holy Spirit, when you ask Him, He all of a sudden reminds you of everything He's ever, you know, He said, I'll remind you everything that Jesus has taught, right? So boom, boom, and in the Word. So that's such a great, that's what we want to be in the Word. We want to be in the Word. And then we can use the Word as a weapon. Just like Jesus did in the temptation when He was with Satan being tempted. He had His helmet. Oh, let's see. I finished. So sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word, is huge. Because that's where we get the promises. That's where we get the truth. That's where we're able to stand, is with the sword of the Spirit.
It's the one authentic.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Slay it down. Okay. So with all prayer and petition, pray at all times, on every occasion and every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. So I think from this too, and we were also talking about this on Thursday night, but even ask the Lord, you know, Lord, if there's somebody that needs prayer in our group, like alert me. Like He alerted, you know, Jen and Juliet, and I'm like, whoa, I want to do that too. Like ask the Lord if there's somebody that needs prayer, not necessarily in our group, but there might be. If there's somebody in my group, alert me. Or if you want, like I was saying this the other night, I woke up in the night and I'm like, do you want to say something, Lord? And then I couldn't go back to sleep. Like, oh, who do you want me to pray for? Do you want me to pray for somebody? You know, one time I got this flash of this woman and her name, and I didn't know her. I never met her. And so I was like, oh, praying for her. Or someone, like, I don't know, just any, you know, I'm like, Lord, if someone's up right now and they really need prayer, let me know. So I so appreciate that, what God did for me, to put me on Jen and Juliet's heart. It was so touched that the Lord would do that, you know, but that we're there for each other, battling for each other, praying for each other. And that's what interceding for all God's people, right? Okay, so in Matthew 4 with the temptation, this is my last point, and then we'll have ministry time, but you can read it. It's very interesting. So I was like, the Lord was bringing that. Watch how Jesus dealt with His battle. The toughest, no, probably not the toughest, but from, I mean, this is like He hasn't even started His ministry, and He has to go through such an intense battle, right, with Satan. He's super hungry and thirsty at the end of His 40 days, and that's when Satan comes and challenges, if, right, you are the Son of God, do that, right? If you are the Son of God, and it hits areas that would hit us, like it's about provision, you know, if you are the Son of God, you know, turn these stones into bread, right? And like, if you're the Son of God, you know, throw yourself off this, and then the angels will protect you. You know, it's kind of like, will we trust God to provide? Like He challenges the provision. He challenges, does God care about me? Would He save me? You know, but Jesus isn't questioning these things. He's not like, wait, no, God will provide at the right time. I don't need bread right now. And also, I don't need to prove to people that God loves me and that He'd save me in danger. You know, but He knew who He was, and He had the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, because everything He did we used with Scripture, right? and then the belt of truth to stand as Satan was tempting him. And so I didn't want to take a long time because I could have gone through that whole passage, but I encourage you guys to look at it. It's very interesting to kind of see the weapons of his armor that he used to stand in a very, very, very difficult battle with Satan. So, but we have the same power within us. We have the Holy Spirit power within us. And I mean, you might get that sometimes, like a thought, like if you are a Christian, then do this. Or if someone challenges you, or, oh, does God really care about you? Let me just point out how he might not, you know. Or is God really going to provide for you? Like the provision thing, that's big, how the enemy wants to get people to fear, right? Provision. You just look at this. Like he didn't even a second, Jesus didn't even give it a second thought. Would God provide? Would God protect? Yeah. So, and then he had that helmet of salvation, knowing who he was, knowing his identity, knowing he is the Son of God. Used that, the sword of the Spirit and the belt of truth, and was totally victorious. So. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Okay, wait, I want to just do the ministry time things, and then you can ask the question, and then we'll turn this off. So, battle, ready, time. All right, so what we're going to do during ministry time is I want you to take, like, a current battle, if you're in a battle, or if you are in a battle in the future, what would be the truth statements that you want to be on your belt that you'll remember at that time? Because they're really like, this is God is for me, God will deliver me, this will end, stand in hope, it's not too much. You know, like, they're all user-friendly. It's not like, what will I use when I'm in a battle? I'd like all of us to do that. To get our armor ready, like power packed, already belt of truth. What's in your belt of truth that you're going to be, so you have it always? And you could, like, put it on your phone or even draw it out, like, put all the truths on your belt. And then do the breastplate of righteousness. Like, let the Holy Spirit, even now, examine your heart. Get rid of anything. Like I was saying, the judgment. We're making our own evaluations of people. That's called judgment. And then identity statements, right? Who you are. And also promises. Promises of God that really stand out to you that will help you in a time of battle. So just having all these already ready. Not like, and then you can keep them and you're like, I remember that. I'm in a battle right now. So here, you already have your truths out. You already have your identity for your helmet of salvation. You're blessed, breastplate of righteousness. You're all good before the Lord. You're all cleaned up and ready. And then you have your identity statements as well. You know, that I'm the beloved son or daughter of Jesus, that, you know, he gave his life for me. So the Father, you know, in Romans 8, lots and lots of Romans 8, how much more will he give me all things? You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Whatever, all the amazing identity statements, promises to stand on. So I'd love if we could do that. If you kind of take each section and write it down or put it in your phone and have your own armor ready. I think these are things we can review every day. And maybe add to your truth. Like, I know we'll do some now, but add to it as you go when you get home and you have time with God, tomorrow or something. And then let the Holy Spirit examine you every day. So you don't have buildup. Forgiveness, judgment, any kind of sin that separates us from him, anything that's grieving the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we can take, I'm just going to pray and then we can have your question mark.